The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the weekend. It is April 1st. Yeah, I said it, April Fool's Day. Have you been pranked already today? You're liable to be pranked for the next 4 hours. Good afternoon. Welcome to a very big weekend as the Final Four in women's and men's play is set to begin. The women a couple of hours from now in Minneapolis, the men tomorrow afternoon, of course, in New Orleans. And all eyes on Dawn Staley as perhaps the best Final Four in women's history set to begin. We are exactly 4 hours away when South Carolina takes on Louisville in the first game. College football is changing. It's okay. Some thoughts about 22. How about 22 thoughts for 2022? The author of that joining us later in the program. Meanwhile, state of flux, examining the data from a wild carousel as 570 coaches change jobs. That is worse than our industry here. Mike Krzyzewski, as on his farewell tour, expresses great frustration with the NCAA. Oh, really? What gave you that idea, Coach, as you do your exit interview? Meanwhile, the NCAA could be down to 1 or 2 years before it runs out of oxygen unless it fixes itself. Who said that? The person in charge, Mark Emmert.
The legal landscape as it exists today simply will not support and sustain the way college sports is conducted today. And so we need to help change that landscape if people want to continue to see events like this championship being conducted the way it's been conducted this tournament. And we've got, again, a relatively short window of time, in my estimate, 1 in 2 years, these decisions have to be made because of the dynamics that are underway right now that are far beyond the control of schools, coaches, ADs, or presidents.
The NCAA doesn't have a great future. It may not have any, but it has none as long as Mark Emmert is in charge. If the people that run the NCAA had any sense, and that is doubtful at this hour, the time has come to fire Mark Emmert immediately. Get rid of him. Just throw him overboard. That he would not last in any business in America. Any Fortune 500 company, he would have already been fired. Any legitimate place of business, he would not be in charge. So it is hypocritical and comical of Mark Emmert to talk about how little time they have left when he is the root of most of the NCAA's problems. Let's move on to something that is not a problem. It is quite an opportunity to make money if you hold tickets to the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game this weekend. You might be a millionaire. How about this from Chuck Dunlap of the SEC, quoting our own Dari Noka, saying that the price of two tickets to all three games of the men's Final Four is less than Tennessee and Vanderbilt this weekend, beginning tonight in Nashville. Today's guests include the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey. He is live in Minneapolis. Pete Utak from College Football News, former Kentucky linebacker Avery Williamson. It's pro day up in Lexington today, and Brandon Marcello will join us as well. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and Hugh starts it off from Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Paul, we've got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful four-day weekend of high-level collegiate basketball. And I have to tell you, even those sunburned Alabama football brains could enjoy watching some great competition with great coaching and outstanding young athletes over the next 4 days. Hello, are you still there?
I you know, when you call, Hugh, I don't feel any need to do anything other than to kick my feet up and listen.
I want to have a little repartee with you here, because there's some history involved that I think maybe some of us have overlooked.
Okay, let's have it.
I did a little bit of homework, and here's the, we are what our history says we are and what we have done. Our record stands on its own if you're in the coaching business. Opinions and fan bases and all of that, you know, that's a very subjective deal. But the records that are achieved, you can't argue with. And to that end, Gino Auriemma tonight is going after his 12th NCAA championship. That makes him number one by a mountain of anybody that's ever coached college basketball. He's won 1,148 games. He has an 88.5 win percentage, and that makes him number one. And beyond that, you know, 11 NCAA championships is outstanding. Eight of those were consecutive, and only John Wooden is better than that. That's second. And his, he has six undefeated seasons. That's number one. Now, I have a surprise for you, Paul. You know who number two on that list is? Your buddy Pat Head Summitt.
Yeah.
She had 1,098 wins for an 84% win and eight NCAA championships and one undefeated season. John Wooden had 10 NCAA championships and won 10 of his last 11. That's number one. He had an 80.8% win record. Mike Krzyzewski won 11-23 for a 78.5 win percentage and five NCAA championships. That's tied with Adolph Rupp. Now, Rupp started 50 years before most of these guys did. He actually had seven national championships, one with the NIT before the NCAA was in the business, and two with the Helms unanimous defections. The point is, Paul, in all of these weeks that you've been on the air, you've never seen fit, to my knowledge, to have the great Gino Auriemma come on your show and explain exactly what he has done and what his philosophy is that led to the best record in collegiate basketball. That's it, Paul. Well, I ain't got anything else, Bubba.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling me Bubba. Makes me feel like a Southerner. John is up next. Hey, Bub, what's up?
It's your esteemed critic. Do I have any time left? Once he mentioned repartee and research, I went and took a shower.
And by the way, John, not to be disrespectful to my elders, but it wasn't like I didn't know all that stuff.
It's April 1st, Paul. It's the only day of the year that people can critically evaluate the things they hear on the Paul Feinbaum show or read on the Internet before they accept they're true,
and
right?
For the record, we haven't, but we did a show a couple of years ago from South Carolina at the UConn-South Carolina basketball game, and Gino Auriemma was about 20 feet from where we were set up, and we invited him, and he looked at us like we were the Lilliputans.
Well, my daughter and I came up with a new contest.
Okay.
To be more specific, we're going to call it the Paternity Contest. Given that Maury Povich is retiring.
Well, I hated to hear that.
Yeah, I know. So did a lot of
But it's, and we play this game now and then, John. The fact that Maury Povich announced he was retiring told me something that I did not already know, that Maury Povich was still living.
So it'll be titled Who's Your Daddy, and obviously we'll start with the allegation or the rumor of Jim's love child's child, right?
Okay. Well, yeah, singular, yes.
Yeah, and then we can expand it to things like, is Jeff related to Jim, you know, cousin, first cousin, whatever. And I think the program has some legs if we work it well.
I think you're right, yeah. And let me make one more correction. It's not his love child. It's his grandchild.
Love child's child.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said love child's child.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey, do you have a minute to give a shout-out to a good friend?
Absolutely.
Yeah. My friend Doc's going through a tough time. Would you just and he's a big fan of your show. Would you say hello to him?
So his name's Doc?
Doc, yeah, and I'll give you the story.
Yeah, hey, Doc, all of us here at the show are pulling for you, and we hope that you have brighter days ahead.
Yeah,
all the best.
After 7 years of medical school, Paul, and all that training, he was fired for one minor indiscretion. He slept with one of his patients, and he can't work in that profession anymore. Yeah, yeah.
John, one minor mistake. Come on.
Well, I know it's all that time and effort and training went down the hill. He's got student loans. He now has to work as a home builder in Ohio. That's how low he's sunk.
And, I know where this is going.
But he's really a great guy and a brilliant veterinarian, Doc. And I appreciate you.
Happy to do it. And so you said slept with a patient?
No, yeah. Okay. I mean, he's a great veterinarian.
Oh. Okay. April Fool's Day, once again. We'll take a short break. We have a lot to do, including the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Meanwhile, down in LSU, the Will Wade situation continues to haunt the LSU basketball program. Wilkinson entered the transfer portal this afternoon, and according to several reporters who keep track of such things, that leaves the LSU basketball program with zero remaining players from the most current roster. 11 to the portal, several to the draft. If you're Coach McMahon, you start from scratch, literally. Let's get to the calls here. And Matt is in Rainbow City, Alabama.
How you doing, Paul?
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
What I would like to do, I want to respond to the man from Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
This is an SEC. And what I'm more interested in is, well, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, that is going to be a fine game. And if you could, would you sometime today post when the SEC teams will have their spring football games?
Yes, sir. We'll get right on that. Dan is up next. Hey, Dan, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. How are you, my friend? First-time caller?
Thank you. Dan, you still there?
Hello? Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, go right ahead. You're on the air, Dan.
Yes, sir. So I'm a journalism student, which may not be a great career move at this point. But just wanted to ask you a question. So when he started out being a journalist at Tennessee in college, and even Ryan McGee, the same thing, it was much easier, was it not, to criticize programs or have input on programs versus now at ESPN and SEC Network? And how do you navigate that?
Well, we're talking about very different things. When I was at the school newspaper, I was a sports columnist, which meant very simply that what I wrote was an opinion piece. What I do here is not entirely based on opinion. But I still feel like the opportunity for me to be heard is there. But you make a good point. There is a tricky road to navigate based on the partnership and relationship between the schools, the conference, and ESPN. Thank you very much for the call. Good luck in your journalism career. Johnny is up next. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Very well. Thank you, Johnny.
Listen, I'm a diehard Georgia fan, and I'm going to tell you, this is not an April Fool's joke, okay? This is coming from a Georgia fan. I tried to get in earlier this week, the week that you interviewed, the day you interviewed Mike Griffin.
Yes.
And as a Georgia fan, I've got to believe that Mike Griffin and Daryl must be cousins, okay? When I listened to Mike Griffin the other day, and I think you got a kick out of some of the comments that he made, I don't know if he and Daryl are drinking the same Kool-Aid or smoking the same stuff, but, you know, Mike Griffin, I know he's on your show a lot, but I'm curious that you can't find somebody better suitable that knows Georgia Bulldog football than Mike Griffin. What's your comments on that?
Well, Johnny, the fact of the matter is that we do talk to other people about Georgia football. We had a guy on from Dog Nation the other day. We've had Coach Donnan on. We've had Seth Emerson. I bet we've talked since Georgia won the national championship. We probably had six or seven different people on who cover Georgia. He just happens to be the most outrageous because of some of the things that he says.
No doubt about that, no doubt.
I mean, the rest of these guys are serious journalists. Mike covers the Dogs, and when he's not doing that, he's running the Ringling Brothers Circus.
He is. And, you know, I want to mention this to you. When the SEC Network was in Athens for the Kentucky game,
right,
and Mike Griffiths was being interviewed by you when Laura was there and everything, he talked about the vaunted Georgia defense, and he mentioned five defensive players, and the one he didn't mention was the captain and the leader of that defense, N'Kobe Dean. And how can anybody, and I know there's going to be some defensive players from Georgia drafted before N'Kobe, but anybody and everybody in the country, not just in the Dog Nation, knows N'Kobe Dean was the glue and the captain of that defense, and Mike Griffiths, this expert, didn't even mention N'Kobe's name on the air that day when y'all were live in Athens that day.
I didn't realize that, but I'll make sure that he does in the future. Thank you for the call. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How about them ticket prices to the Tennessee game tomorrow? I mean, that's unreal. Have you ever threw out a pitch at the baseball game? Is that why they're charging so much?
Yeah, you know, matter of fact, I haven't, nor will I. I was asked to do it once somewhere, and I decided I did not want to be the worst opening day pitcher since Anthony Fauci.
Come on. Well, yeah, that was pretty terrible. Big game tomorrow. I just hope it goes all right. I'd like to encourage you to pull for Duke if you could just swallow your SEC pride for a night.
No, I've always been a Duke fan and a Krzyzewski fan. It won't take any swallowing my pride to do that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. JD is in Mississippi. Hello, JD.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
If you got a nickel, but every time somebody asked you how you were doing, you would never have to work again, would you?
No, I wouldn't be here, JD. I would have already bought myself an island somewhere.
Yes, sir. Hey, look here. It's per day today, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Hello? Yes, sir.
Pretty day.
All right, let me get to business.
Okay.
On this Alabama football business, do you think that Arch Manning business, do you think he's going to come to Alabama? Or what's your idea on that?
I have no idea, because I have no earthly idea what a 17-year-old is thinking. So to speculate, to predict would be a foolish use of my time and the audience's. We'll take a break. We'll head to Minneapolis in just a few minutes. The NCAA Final Four just a couple of hours away. The commissioner of the conference will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And listening to Coach Daly in that clip right before we came back on the air for everyone, we're 3.5 hours away from the beginning of the Women's Final Four in Minneapolis, and that's where we find the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey. Commissioner, good to have you on. I know you're excited about this game, and I was just trying to do the math in my head last weekend as you were crisscrossing the nation. I hope you've gotten at least a break, because your travel schedule has been really off the charts. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it has been. You know, last time I think I was on the road talking to you, we were in Tampa, right? It was 75 degrees and sunny. I think it's about 38 degrees and sunny here outside of Minneapolis. And we had an LA conversation where it was lovely. So welcome to my hotel room in the W in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Commissioner, if I could go back to last weekend, because I was trying to do the math in my head. You were in San Francisco, and then you were in Columbia. I think you may have been somewhere else. How are you? I mean, if I go have one trip a week or two trips a week, I can't function. How did you handle that, if I may be so bold to ask?
Well, I actually in the 2 weeks, so first and second round and then the regionals, I had 14 different commercial flight segments. So I started Birmingham, Indianapolis, Charlotte to get to Columbia. I was for the Howard game with South Carolina, back to Indianapolis for Tennessee's game against Michigan, then back to Charlotte and then Columbia for the Miami game, and up to Greenville for the other Miami game, the first one being South Carolina against Miami's women's team, and then Auburn men's team. And then last week was Birmingham to San Francisco for Arkansas, Gonzaga, and a great win there. Then to Greensboro for, man, it was South Carolina, and I can't even tell you who they played. They all seemed to run together. I know they finished with Creighton Sunday, so I went back to San Francisco for Arkansas-Duke, and then back to Greensboro for Creighton and South Carolina. So a lot of travel, but we haven't had this since 2019, Paul. So I made up my mind to see how many games I could actually be a part of for both men's and women's basketball teams.
I keep looking on eBay to see if you're offering up your travel miles, but I think you've hit the golden goose. Well, it's certainly an amazing run that you've had, and it's significant, I think, that you have done what you've done, because this year, finally, it appears college basketball is paying the proper attention to the women's game after the snafu last year. I'm curious for you to address that and the importance of this game tonight and all weekend in Minneapolis.
It is an important year. And even last year, Paul, I had some business meetings when the video broke in San Antonio, the TikTok video. And I think it happened on a Thursday evening before the NCAA tournament started. And I was not planning on traveling to either men's or women's first and second round games in those bubbles. You really couldn't interact and couldn't see people. So I was going to stay away. And as soon as I saw those videos, I thought it was important for me to adjust. And I was at tip-off. I think Kentucky played at noon that first Sunday down in the Alamo Dome. And I wanted to see for myself, not read about it, not hear reports, but see for myself the points of concern. And they were real. And in fact, I got back to my office and we had a letter that one of our teams had violated COVID protocols. And as I dug into it, because that's a concern, you didn't want to have the disruption we'd experienced all season. One of our student athletes had ordered food from like Grubhub or Uber Eats, and just a delivery in a hotel lobby produced that letter. And that was because they weren't well supported from a food standpoint. So fast forward, a lot of work. I actually just left a meeting where we had an update from members of the NCAA staff and its women's basketball committee with all that's been done. And part of my travel is I wanted to see on-campus sites this year, see if we were fulfilling our own commitment to support our teams and our student athletes. And progress has been made, but I think we've also heard there's still a journey to go in making most effective throughout the regular season our support of women's basketball and candidly all of our women's sports inventory.
We're chatting with the commissioner of the SEC who is in Minneapolis for the women's Final Four. Commissioner, there's been stories going on for the last 2 days, most of them emanating from comments that Mark Emmert has made about the future of the NCAA. I know this is something that you're very much involved with. You chair a number of committees. You've been part of the restructuring. So to ask you about it, I know it's complicated, but we would like your thoughts on the current state of the NCAA.
Yeah, there's a lot that's been talked about, and I've been around it for the past 2 days in both Minneapolis and New Orleans, and a little bit of commentary on Wednesday here in Minneapolis, and a lot more yesterday, and as I was waiting to join you, Paul, even more today. I co-chair with Julie Cromer. Julie is the athletics director at Ohio University, what's called the Transformation Committee. I would probably relabel it as we really better get after this and get it right, committee, because there's a lot of external and internal pressures on college sports that we've not seen. There are a lot of opinions, and we have listened and are listening to those opinions. You know, Paul, just quickly from a menu of issues that we've addressed with this 21-person committee, the infractions process has not been right for a while. There's a lot of parts. There's been a lot of groups looking at things. That needs to be a system that holds people accountable when they're accused in a fair and timely manner, but also provides results so those compete against those who are accused have results from those allegations in a fair and timely manner. We're really good at writing rules. We're not good at deleting rules. We have to slim down our rule book. We're also going to have to update our support of student athletes. We've seen commentary from the Supreme Court that's pretty clear about the need for change. We had a long meeting, Julie and myself, with the board members from the National Association of Basketball Coaches. That's the men's coaches tomorrow in Minneapolis. In the morning, I'll visit with leaders from the Women's Basketball Coaches Association. They've talked about their academic concerns for student athletes. They've talked about the transfer reality, which has gone from very much a restrictive approach to just open-ended and creates a lot of confusion and a lot of concern. You can imagine we've talked about name, image, and likeness. I think you've seen a hearing, or actually a panel discussion in D.C. and two different bills introduced, one in the House and one in the Senate, on issues that touch college athletics. If we don't get the message that we're not trusted to manage this enterprise, what's happening around us has to make that abundantly clear, again, both internally and externally. And I'm not going to over-predict that we can get all of this right, but we certainly can make progress between now and August, which is the timeline assigned to those of us working on this transformational effort.
I mean, I know it's simplistic just to say, you know, what's the quick fix? There isn't a quick fix, but something has to change, as you alluded to. So just from a big picture standpoint, what can you change in a relatively short period of time?
Well, that's the question to be answered, Paul, and you're right. So the what warms my heart is every problem being talked about today has existed for decades. And we shouldn't be so naive to think that we can find ultimate solutions in 6 months. but the status quo doesn't have to remain. We've watched, you know, it was painful to watch St. Peter's victory over Kentucky, and I mean that. But those are the unique parts of this national celebration of college sports that happens in March. It's a reward tonight to watch South Carolina and Louisville, followed by Stanford and UConn. That's what we do really well. And so these needs for adjustment have to be made in order to provide that kind of excellent celebration, that kind of excellent access. What can change? You know, I just talked about this infractions model that is always going to be the center of criticism. The fact that we've had matters linger for 4, 5, 6 years is simply unacceptable. We've created an independent process. We have to evaluate whether that's really necessary. The issue around a 400 or so page rule book that legislates minutia and then sends the enforcement staff on these trails where some of this stuff just doesn't matter in the lexicon of administering college athletics, and people on campus are going to have to make decisions. And we're being challenged regularly in court and by legislators, both at the state level and federal level, to look at how we support student athletes, whether it's scholarship security, how we support their health, both physically and mentally. You know, the old stories about people going without food, those are gone. Those are the old days. People being dumped from teams because they injure a knee. We had over 400 young people on scholarship who never played last year because we support well. So we have to both communicate, and then we have to adjust and candidly expect more of ourselves, because that's what the culture expects of us in college sports.
That's on one part of it, but as you talk to coaches and you talk to them every day, there are present day issues that I think a lot of our audience is curious about, and that's the predictable NIL conversation and transfer portal conversation. Where are we on those two issues?
So from a transfer standpoint, our transformation committee is looking at the transfer issue. So let's just be clear with our language. You know, Paul, if we went back 5 years, you and I would likely be talking about restrictions placed on young people who wanted to move from school A to school B, or they had to serve a year of residence in like 5 sports and 2 dozen other sports. Those student athletes didn't have to serve a year of residence before they played. So literally, college sports has transformed what happens to transfer student athletes. And now what we're hearing is, whoa, that pendulum swung too far. We need to moderate a bit. I think we're going to have to be careful in recognizing there's likely space to have more guidelines or more guardrails is the more frequently used term around how people transfer, when the timing takes place. We've tried to be careful about intra-conference transfers. And so we're working through that. Paul, I think between now and August, we'll either be able to say there's the ability to manage differently, or this current system is what it is. A name, image, and likeness, that's immensely more complex. There's litigation in that space. For really the first time in the history of college sports, we've seen states say, we're not going to wait for the NCAA to change, or we're not going to allow you to change. We're going to affect the change through our own state legislation. That happened last year, right on the heels of a Supreme Court decision that said we and the NCAA had better be very careful about being overly restrictive with our rules. Now, the irony is you're seeing states that acted to adopt legislation step back and say, well, we're not going to regulate that space at the state level. And so that causes the need for the Division I Board of Directors to reengage and say, you know what, this is not a healthy space. This isn't traditional college sports. And so we're trying to make all of these decisions within the context of federal and state legislative activity and interest in litigation. And we have to exercise great care. And you know what? That doesn't produce easy results. That produces tense coaches' conversations, difficult coaches' meetings. And the fact is, we're likely going to be uncomfortable for a while as we go through this transformational period. And that's going to be okay. We've got to work to get to the right side or the right outcome on these issues.
Commissioner Greg Sankey joining us from Minneapolis, where we're just a couple of hours away from the beginning of the women's Final Four. Commissioner, thank you very, very much for your time. We hope to see you soon.
Yeah, I look forward to having those easy conversations again. But good luck to the Gamecocks tonight. Sorry to see the Aggies come up short in the NIT last night, but even though we don't have as many teams as we want, it's been a great basketball season for our men's and women's teams in the SEC, and we look forward to our future.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Greg Sankey joining us from Minneapolis, where in just a little bit more than 3 hours, South Carolina takes on Louisville. We'll take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. It's great to have all of you here. And Ed is up next in Memphis. Ed, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Two things. First of all, I called you last fall and asked you the question if you knew anything about whether or not the kids at the service academies would be able to get into this NIL situation since they were having their education furnished by the government. The second thing, yesterday you were talking about the assassination attempt on President Reagan. Did you know, or maybe you kind of forgot, that 91 years ago, in 1931, on March 31st, Knute Rockne was killed in a plane crash in Kansas?
I did not know that, and I guess because I was alive during Reagan's, it was more memorable. But I of course, have read about Coach Rockne's death, and it was shocking to the nation, and still is shocking to think about that at such a young age.
Right. And as I say, did you ever find anything about whether he served?
I believe they can. I don't think the fact that the government's paying for your education has anything to do with it. I think this law gives every athlete the opportunity to profit from their name, image, and likeness. But I will check that out again just to be sure. Thank you. Dwayne is calling next in Georgia. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul, just wanted to call back and let you know I talked to you about a month ago telling you about my starting my own business, and I got it off a month ago, More Vision Vending, and it's going well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
For 7 years after I lost my eyesight, I didn't know if there was anything out there for me to do being blind, but found out about a school up in Atlanta, and I went up and supposed to take 3 months, but it took 10 months because of COVID. But I graduated and I just landed a job. I'm doing the rest areas out there in Dublin, Georgia. And so I just wanted to call to let you know how things were going. I get to pay Uncle Sam again. I'm looking forward to that.
So one more time before you go, how does your business operate? Give us the skinny on it.
What I do is I have a westbound and eastbound. I have a warehouse that is behind one of my rest areas, and so I go. I have two helpers which can see that help me, but I go and get the stuff out of my warehouse and go across the parking lot. I load up my coat machines, and I memorize where all my coats go, what slots they're in. Of course, I have to have some help on that, but then I have. Then when I finish the coat machines, I slide over and do the snack machines and fill those up. And I do it on the same side, on the west side of the interstate. So it's taken a while to get it down and all. But when I first started, it was taking me about 12 hours. Now I've got it down to about 6 or 7. So I'm happy about that.
Well, Dwayne, I'm so glad to hear that it's going well. Stay in touch with us and all the best from here. We are heading to the break. We had the commissioner on the first hour. We'll talk a little college football, some college basketball in the next hour. We appreciate you being here, and we are coming right back.